The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor for this week. Man, we are rocking and rolling into Vegas Torino. We got a big weekend on tap this week in the world of motorsports. Well, actually, yeah, in the world of motorsports. I mean, off-road, we got Vegas Torino going down, which is going to be probably the biggest desert race of the year so far. We've also got ERX short course happening there. We've also got, yes, just the little one, the Indy 500 kicking off this weekend. Yes, the month of August, the Indy 500 qualifying on tap this weekend. Then the big show the following weekend. Man, we've got a lot in store. I mean, this week, packed guests. We got a double dose of Power Rankings, Chris Leone, Tiffany Stone calling in to cap off the show. Hour number one, though, we got a couple of blockbuster guests. We got 6100 trophy truck spec driver Jason Coleman. Sorry, lost my train of thought there for a second. Jason Coleman, he is on tap. It's been a long time since Jason's been on the show, quite a few years actually. Stoked to have him back talking all things Vegas Torino. Then we've also got rallycross superstar, my good friend and my teammate for Vegas Torino, Steve Arpin, on the show to catch up and talk about the world of rallycross, and then his debut in the world of desert racing coming this weekend at Vegas Torino. So yeah, we've got a lot on tap, a lot in store, and it is going to be one hell of a good show this week. Also, opening things up, I got a lot to talk about here in our opening segment. If you got any fan questions, hit me up at JimBeaver15 on Twitter, on that Twitter machine. And I guess welcome everybody tuning in, whether you're on the American Forces Network, Sports Byline Network, you're at SiriusXM Channel 211, Dan Patrick Radio, Apple Podcasts, DownAndDirtyShow.com, Podcast One, Spreaker, Spotify, anywhere you're listening to this, welcome to the show. It is going to be a good one this week. That's for sure. And man, even better news though, Baja 1000 is happening. It is going down. It is signed, sealed, delivered. I know there was thoughts that it possibly could be delayed, but you know what? Those thoughts are behind us. They have ink on a contract, which means the Baja 1000 will happen this November, and it starts at the city of Ensenada. And man, that is as big a news from the world of off-road as it's going to happen, as well as, yeah, Indy 500 kicks off this weekend. We got a lot to talk about here, and when we return to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
All right, welcome to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, kicking off what is going to be an interesting one. I'm literally recording this early this week. It's going to air, obviously, nationally, and everywhere else is a podcast. You guys are getting it fresh and early. But I am getting ready to head to Vegas to Reno. It's going to be a bit of an interesting one for so many different reasons. One, we haven't had a major desert race in quite some time. Well, I take that back. We did have the Best of the Desert Silver State race in June, but even a lot's changed since then. COVID restrictions are crazy now on this event. We just daily get updates on requirements. Truthfully, it's amazing this event is happening. Let's just put it that way. We got to tip the cap to Best of the Desert for doing everything humanly possible to make sure the biggest off-road race in the United States actually happens. It's quite remarkable. But, man, the entry list is just stacked. You look down every single division, and it is stacked. I mean, looking at the UTV class, stacked. Trophy truck, stacked. 6100 stacked. They're even doing for the unlimited classes, qualifying at night, which I don't think has ever been done aside from SCORE at SEMA under the lights. But that was a different thing. It wasn't out in the open desert, anything like that. Completely different concept that SCORE had there. But I got to give them a lot of credit. I'm excited about this thing. Excited to get the cat out of the bag that my buddy Steve Arpin is coming to race with me, bringing a rally crosser to desert racing. I've done it before. Had Travis Pastrana as well as Tanner Faust both come and team with me. So it's nothing new for me to bring in, kind of a ringer, celebrity driver. But should be a ton of fun. We got Racer Magazine kind of embedding with us. Marty Fiocca is actually going to do a stint at the end of the race. So we got a lot to look forward to in regards to this race, and I am definitely amped for this. It's going to be one hell of a fun ride. So you guys strap in. You're watching online. I think Racing Tracks has got some stuff. I also heard from my good friend Matt Martelli, I believe the Serapis's and Bryce Menzies and possibly Terrible Herps are doing live in-car camera for the entire race, and they're airing it on their YouTube channels and I believe on Facebook. I don't know for sure, but so you're going to have some live in-car footage via satellite, some other things. It should be rad, man. The tech they used at the Mint 400 is unbelievable. I know Rob McCachran had a Vision Wheel sponsored one at the Mint 400, and it was totally insane with the live footage and action you were able to see from Rob's truck. I know he got a flat at one point. You were able to watch him change the tire and see the frustration on their faces, things like that. So I don't know, off-road up in the game. And not only is all that going on, but we've got ERX, another short course race. You'll be able to watch the live stream on that I believe this is Saturday Sunday race. Last year was Friday Saturday, earlier this year. This one's going to be Saturday, Sunday. So you off-road fans, you're going to have Vegas to Reno on Friday. You're going to have ERX Saturday, Sunday. Not only that, but we got the Indy 500 running in August, which not going to have any fans in attendance, which means I think their TV and their live streaming is going to be absolutely bonkers with people tuned in, people like me. I know I'm fortunate the race gets over Friday, so I can watch what's going on in Indy on my travel back to Arizona Saturday, and then on Sunday I'll be locked and loaded into that. But, man, big, big events coming up, a lot going on. It's actually going to be a hell of a lot of fun, to see what goes down this weekend. Man, motorsports are back and back in a big way. I know NHRA, poor NHRA, they've been scrapping together a calendar, and it looks like it's going to be loaded up with dates in Indianapolis. Seems like they've been able to get something that works there in Indy, and continue to pump out the events. I know that, unfortunately, a lot of their other rounds have been canceled, and they're just running in Indianapolis. And obviously they do have some other events slated to happen. I don't know if those will happen. SEMA being canceled, that's a big one in the last week. The biggest automotive, festival in the world has been scrapped for this year. They're talking about doing a virtual SEMA. I'm not feeling it. I don't want to watch SEMA online. I know there's a lot of other conventions and things like that that do go online. I mean, E3, the big gaming convention, they do that online. Big fan of E3. I watch online and a BlizzCon, another one, and I'm going into the gamer world here. But even CES, Computer Electronics Show, they do a lot of online coverage, and it works. But for some odd reason, SEMA, just to me, it doesn't quite work in the online space. And I know they're really trying to do something. If I was SEMA, man, I'd scrap this year completely. Say, you know what, we're not doing anything virtual. Concentrate on your PRI show in December. That's going off in Indy. I think it's going to be big. I'd bring in some of the vendors that wanted to vend that maybe haven't ever been vended at PRI. I'd bring them in. Welcome them to Indy. Make them show up there. Kind of concentrate on that show, and then really blow it out of the water in 2021 with a SEMA show. I mean, go double as big as you do. Somehow ramp that up, amp that up, make it absolutely huge. I think there's a big possibility for that. I think obviously everybody's going to be excited for SEMA after having a year off from it. I think next year the SEMA organization has the opportunity to really, and I mean really, blow things out of the water. And I'm definitely looking forward to what's to come on that front. But I think a good call on the SEMA front. I personally would have had a hard time going, And I've traveled a lot with COVID-19 going on. Went up to Dirtfish in Seattle. They did a phenomenal job with the way they've tackled things. I've obviously been to Minnesota, been to San Diego on the beach for a week. I've done a bit of traveling, and but SEMA, it made me a little bit nervous, I'm not all about having that many people crammed in a room. I get claustrophobic as it is, getting claustrophobic knowing there's a pandemic going on. Whoo, not for me. I don't know, maybe it was for some of you, but I would love to hear you guys chime in. What do you think about SEMA being canceled? Hit me up at JimBeaver15 on Twitter. Let me know what your thoughts are on that. See if you guys are on the same page as me, or if you thought, hell with it, they should have brought it, man. Bring the heat, SEMA. Let's do it. I'm not scared. I don't know. Looking forward to seeing what you guys and what your thoughts are on potentially that. Seems like the only organization that's really found a groove here that hasn't had any hiccups is NASCAR. For some odd reason, NASCAR running like clockwork, and they're making things work. Formula One, I guess a bit of the same too. They're doing a solid job there in the Formula One world. Supercross found it too, though. When they ran the remaining part of their schedule up there in Salt Lake City. I guess there's some organizations found a foothold here and able to get things happen. I know Ultra 4 making a big announcement. They had a big event, handled in Reno, and that's being switched to Moab now without fans. Kind of weird. I mean, Moab's normally known for having so many fans and big fan following, and it's running fanless at Moab. So gonna be interesting to see what happens there on that front. But I don't know, the world of motorsports and the automotive industry has been it's been interesting. I know we're talking about doing some more esports events this fall to kind of help fill the void for you guys. So we got some really cool stuff kind of up our sleeve that we're planning, so hopefully we can roll that out and get you guys kind of pumped on some of the stuff and some of the projects we've got going on. But I don't know, been a weird year, but Vegas Sereno, the highlight of mine, is definitely coming up this weekend. I'm really excited to be bringing some friends out, having some fun. We're going to be doing a lot of media and live stuff from the event, from the racetrack. And I think you guys are going to enjoy that one, enjoy what we bring to the table, trying to do something a little bit different and really kind of bring you guys behind the scenes on one of the biggest off-road races, you know, in the United States. Well, you know, that and the Mint 400, hands down, are the two biggest in the United States. This has Mint 400 on length. I would say Mint 400 definitely has Vegas Torino on the fan festivities and at event attendance. So, we got a lot of fun stuff coming up, though, especially this weekend. If you're a motorsports fan, man, you got to be excited about what's happening this weekend, man. I feel like this weekend is bringing us back to some semblance of normalcy in this crazy, crazy world that we're in. But those of you that have been enjoying motorsports in the virtual world on the iRacing service, use that coupon code PR-JimBeaver. It's going to get you a 50% off when you sign up there at iRacing. You can go racing on some of the raddest motorsports tracks in the world there at iRacing, PR-JimBeaver. That's going to get you 15% off at iRacing. And with that, we're going to take a short commercial break right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my good friend Jason Coleman to the show, fellow off-road racer. Jason, I'm trying to think back, man. It's been a while since we've had you on the show. I know you've been on in the past, but I'm trying to think back, man. It's been probably far too long, my friend.
I think it has. I appreciate you having me on. It's definitely been a few years, and so I'm stoked to be back with you.
Yeah, well, I know we got a lot to talk about. Obviously, I'm racing Vegas Torino this weekend. You're racing Vegas Torino this weekend. I guess the big news is the longest off-road race in the United States is going on, and man, we finally get to get back behind the wheel, and I got to tell you, that feels damn good on my side.
Yeah, it's been great. We're very pumped. Big field, big car counts. Obviously, a lot of races haven't happened this year, so it seems like everybody is coming out to race this, and it's definitely going to be a great race.
Yeah, well, I got to ask you about 6100. First, I guess I want to ask you, before we talk about 6100 and what we're going to see this weekend and actually qualifying, which is going to be interesting, but I want to talk about kind of you and your transition, because you started out as a 1600 guy, and I mean, you were one of the top guys in 1600 for years. How's the transition been from that into 6100? I mean, that's going from buggies and especially 1600, where it's completely momentum based. I mean, you guys are just pinned 100% all the time. How has that transition been into a 6100 truck? Because I mean, most people think the logical progression would have been you going open wheel route into like a class one or something like that. How has that 1600 to 6100? How has that transition been for you, man?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty good. It took a few years. Dabbled in a couple different classes, drove for a couple different teams, got to drive a couple of trucks before last year, jumping both feet in and building our own truck with Herps. And at first, you know, you think, oh, this is going to be easy. And I learned there was some stuff to definitely learn. And so fortunately, this year we put together a plan and we've probably put a couple thousand miles logged since the beginning of the year, raced four races, had great results. And, I sat back and looked, hey, there's something to this. It's not as easy as it looks. But I think with the seat time I've been getting, I feel very, very comfortable now and really excited to attack this weekend with the big car counts that we have. But, you know, everything you learn as the steps go along from the 1600s or the Razors, like all of it applies as you go up to the faster classes. Just things are happening faster. So for me, I've had a great time and really feel like I'm getting comfortable now.
Well, and I think, too, with 6100, you know, they look like a trophy truck. They act like a trophy truck. And the biggest difference is they're just a little bit less horsepower. And I got a feeling like 1600, man, that is 100% a momentum-based class, right? You carry your speed through the corners. You know, everything is about momentum, 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 because, you know, you don't have that horsepower to fall back on when you lose that momentum, and it takes you a while to regain it. And I got a feeling, you know, and obviously I haven't actually spent a lot of time in 6100 trucks, but I got to think, like, you know, cornering, things like that, a lot of it you can draw from 1600, because I feel like 6100, you know, they do have a lot of horsepower, but there's also a lot of weight there. And I got a feeling like, you know, 6100, a lot of it's about corner speed and carrying that, you know, that speed through the corners, things like that. So, like, to me, I think probably there is a lot from 1600 you can take and apply to that, just because, you know, a lot of it is carrying your speed in 6100, much like, you know, you did in 1600, right?
You're absolutely right. I think anything that's got a tagged name limited, it is all about momentum and how you drive. And so, yes, you're right. Our truck, the one that we have built, is 100% trophy truck, with the engine package being the 6100 limited horsepower. So we're half the horsepower of a trophy truck, but everything they got, the 40-inch tires, the big shocks, everything you can name, we have. So, yes, you're right. It is about momentum. It is about it's a true driver's class. I mean, it is the closest, most competitive racing I've raced in a long time. We kick up some big dust, but it is great drivers, really skilled, and you just got to be on your game. And it's about being smart, not making mistakes, and just keep motoring. And it is a really, really fun class. It's super reliable. And you can see there's over 40 trucks entered this weekend, and it is huge. But yeah, you're right. Momentum is key in most classes, and especially in 6100.
Well, and I think the last, you know, and I've made this prediction a year or so ago, and I think, and I don't want to take credit for anything, you know, but I think in the next couple of years, correct me if I'm wrong, but I see what's happening in trophy truck, and I can tell you myself, I got priced out of the game there, and I think a lot of people are, and, you know, and especially now with the all-wheel drive trucks coming in, and the expense is, you know, I see 6100. And we see, you know, you said 40 plus truck entries. I can see in the next couple of years, Jason, I could see that class pushing 70 entries, just because I think you're going to see a shift from guys in trophy truck who no longer could compete moving to 6100, simply because they can afford to compete there, you know, and it's guys with a lot of money, but it's still not enough with this whole new all-wheel drive monster in the room. I can see 6100 continuing to grow, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's funny. I think when this started years ago, I was like, I just don't see it. I think it was the wrong direction. And boy, I was wrong. And now it's grown into what it is and continues to grow. And I'm excited about it. And to your point, like, these trucks are super reliable. They're half the horsepower. So they're not just these fire breathing dragons that are really just demanding everything out of every part on the truck. So it wears well. It's just a very reliable piece. But, you know, I went to the Moore race right after Memorial Day weekend, and the Moore 300, and we won it overall. And there was an all-wheel drive truck there. My lap time was only 20 seconds off of his fastest lap, my best lap. And he's twice the horsepower, twice the cost to build it. We're going very fast. We are finishing overall very, very well. Like, the name of the game is momentum and just keeping going. And for the bang for the buck, I think it's a tremendous class, and I agree with you that a lot of guys are going to go, you know what, let's go put this thing in here. It's more cost effective to run, and there's great racing, and we can compete. So I agree with you. Like, to see a 70 car count in this class in the coming years would be amazing.
Well, you know, all that being said, too, I mean, I want to talk about, you know, you talked about speeds, and I know qualifying came in a couple of years ago for 6100. I want to key in on Vegas Torino qualifying, because not only are you guys qualifying at night, you and 6100, I mean, you're qualifying, what is your parade lap is like 10 o'clock at night. I think you're actually going to be qualifying about 10:30. Dude, like that's a complete different animal. You want to talk about, this isn't qualifying at dusk. I mean, this is dark, dark, dark. You know, that's kind of gnarly in and of itself, because we've never really, aside from, I think, maybe score qualifying for Baja at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway under the lights, which is not really desert qualifying. I mean, this is its own beast, man. This is pretty gnarly qualifying that late at night. I mean, how are you guys approaching this? Obviously, you know, lights and everything else are going to be crucial. You know, sometimes I think lights are almost an afterthought on trucks, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I just think even Vegas Torino, some of the trucks are going to be finishing before it gets dark, you know, but here it's like you guys got to bring your A game.
Yeah, definitely it's a different twist. And, you know, I don't know the exact reason why they're doing that. They're just trying to get us out of the heat or what. But, yeah, our parade lap doesn't start till 10 o'clock, and I don't anticipate starting with one small hiccup. I could easily qualify after midnight. So, you know, we're preparing for that. We're very fortunate. We just came off of the KC Highlights night race that we won. And so, you know, I've just logged a couple hundred miles racing at night, so I'm pretty comfortable with turning our KC Highlights on. And, you know, we're going to attack it with what we can do and what we can see. And it'll be a late night, but, you know, it is what it is. It's a twist. I joke because we're always critical of how they do things, no matter what organization it is. And we seem to always have a reason to complain about something. And you're like, you know what? Hey, we're going racing. We're going to put a smile on our face and we're going to have fun and we're going to take it, whatever they give to us. So we'll be ready for it. And like I said, our KC Highlights are pretty dang bright. So we're not really worried about it.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, we've all got complaints. And then I look at the big picture and I'm like, the lack of racing we've had. And, and somebody posted on the internet something and they're complaining about everybody having to wear masks at Vegas Torino. And I said, whoa, pump the brakes. I'm like, I have my guys in hazmat suits if we have to go racing. We're going racing. Like, I don't care at this point. Just tell me how we get to the start line. You know, we're going to do it. So, yeah, like you said, if you got to qualify at night, who cares? We're racing, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, hey, the mask makes sense out there. It's dusty, so it's fine. We'll be okay. It's going to be a great race. I mean, this really is, I think, one of the best races that we have on the planet. It's so much action, nonstop, all day. Your crew's moving with you. We're all kind of in our own little races and strategizing to keep us moving along this 515 miles of course. And it's exciting for everybody. So it's going to be great. There's tons of people doing some live stuff. We're trying to do some constant updates on our Instagram, and so there's action whether you're there or you're at home, and we're excited.
Yeah, and here's a question. How are you guys approaching this one? Because I know this is the weird race, like you said. It's across an entire state. It's 515 miles long. But, you know, on the flip side, you and I both know that it's a short 515 miles where you almost have to approach this one like a sprint race. You know what I mean? And track position is key. You know, it gets interesting with passing and things like that. I mean, how are you guys approaching it? Because it's one of those where it is very, very long, but it also, you can't make a mistake because it's a short 500 miles. And I think only an off-road driver would understand what I mean by that, but you understand. I mean, how are you guys approaching this one? You know, is it, you can't really lay up for this one for the first 300 miles and let the race come to you. It's like, you really got to go, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my strategy is kind of generally simple, and it kind of stays the same, is that I think it really opens up after the first 100 miles or so. You know, things kind of start to spread out. And this is one where you just got to be really patient. And I think you hear that a lot in racing, that in the desert, you got to be patient. Well, this one more so, because you put yourself off the road just a hair, and it's just rocky. It's Nevada desert, and it is boulders and rocks and cliffs and things. So it's very much staying in your lane and just being smart about it. And you try to just pick the guys off via attrition and other things. So kind of patient early. And then, like you say, as it opens up in the dust, kind of gaps a little bit, because it's pretty dusty off the start, super silty. I mean, they're 120 mile an hour roads with just blinding silt. So just getting through that is a challenge in itself. And then trying to just pick the guys off. And it's a weird race, because it has some couple different ways it can play out. And every year you go in with a strategy and it's either going to work or it's not. And it's kind of luck of the draw how it plays out. And we've done well here over the years. So we'll see if this one is the one for us. And, you know, we're going to go hard all day. But you're right. It is kind of a interesting short race that is kind of long. And but it is really fun.
Yeah. Well, Jason, we are up against a time break, my friend, but I appreciate you taking the time to call into the show. Good luck out there. We will see you in Las Vegas in a couple of days for the start of Vegas Torino, and we'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it, so when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my good friend and I can officially say my teammate, Steve Arpin, to the show. What is happening, brother?
Well, my friend, how many years have we been talking about this? It's like eventually one this is going to happen. And sure enough, thanks to COVID-19, we figured it out.
Right. Exactly. It just took a damn global pandemic for us to finally be racing together. But I guess if there's one positive takeaway from this, it's that. I don't know, man.
There is a silver lining in every situation, my friend.
Yeah, and I'm trying to
Sometimes it's harder to find.
Yeah, I was trying to think. It's like, when did I first meet Steve? I think we got to go back. When was your first year racing Global Rallycross? Was it 12 or 13?
Oh, God, I think that was all the way back in 13, but 13. I'm almost positive I had met you before then with, like, the ARCA days and stuff like that, have we not?
There, through Joe Duncan or something way back. Like, yeah, there was some point where our paths crossed. I think we really got to know each other maybe
Joe
in 13.
Duncan, those days go back to when I was a teenager, so that goes back a long ways with Joe Duncan.
Yeah, well, it's funny, too, because he sent me a message, and he's going to listen to this, and he'll be laughing. But and Joe, he's like, well, if I would have known Steve was racing with you, I would have flown out from Minnesota. So...
Oh, God. I will tell a quick little story about Joe. Joe was always the promoter extraordinaire, everything to do with snowmobile racing. And it was just so cool watching what he took that sport and turned it into. But and I'm not just saying that because he's going to listen to this. He was actually really good at it.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I hadn't seen Joe in ages, like ages. I can't even tell you how long. And my first race was Brazil, of all places. And I pull up to the practice grid. I am nervous as it can be. I've never even seen one of these races before, and I'm hopping in at the X Games. And sure enough, I've got this dorky-looking guy kind of waving me up to the starting grid and everything. I'm like, God, that guy looks familiar. And I kind of wave him over, and he comes over. He's like, Arpin? And we just hit it off right there, and I think we kind of pissed a couple people off because we were sitting on the starting grid messing for so long. But yeah, it was of all places to run into each other, it was on the starting grid in a dirt track in a cornfield in Brazil.
Yeah, that was a weird, I don't want to say weird track. It was actually interesting looking, because I remember, like, wasn't the dirt like really reddish, and then there was all the green backdrop? It, like, on TV, it really popped.
Well, and it was so dusty that you couldn't see, and I think that was the best advantage I had, because I had no clue what on earth I was doing. So the fact that we couldn't see was a little bit of an advantage to me.
God, I forgot about that. Yeah, because I remember I called all the races that year except for the three Global X Games ones. Well, I guess Barcelona never happened, but yeah, you know. Yeah, oh, man, we're going way back, dude. We're going way back. But what else has been happening? I know we're going to talk Vegas Torino here in a minute, buddy. But I know obviously you guys, you know, Rallycross kind of in a reboot year, right, for next year. That's kind of you guys. I mean, you guys have been cranking away, working on stuff in the shop, things like that. But it's kind of, I know a lot of fans, they've chimed in and sent me messages on, you know, Twitter and in our Facebook group. Hey, what's going on with Rallycross? I'm like, oh, it's coming back. And I said, I think it's going to be really exciting. But what have teams like you guys been doing this year? You know, obviously the pandemic hit, you know, Rallycross, the community got hit pretty hard, you know, with ARX going away. What have you guys been up to?
Honestly, we've been busy as can be. We're super fortunate to have been able to keep all of our guys and everything. And we have been digging on our Fords to get these things up, and we had a lot of improvements that we were working on last year. It's kind of proved to be one of the longest off seasons I think we've ever had, but it's been one of those years, and this whole pandemic, it's such a tough situation, and it's one of those deals where it's like there's no one at fault for the change in schedules and everything kind of coming and going. And back in, it was actually supposed to be April 2nd, I believe. We're all supposed to be in Salt Lake City and doing a huge announcement for what this next series is going to be. And at first it was sitting there and it was like, I was gutted. I was torched. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened now. Right? Like, we finally get the boost that Rallycross needs to get back in the direction that we were years ago and build this back up to what it needs to be. And then a frickin' global pandemic hits, of all things, right? It was like, how can this happen right now? But ultimately, like, honestly, after seeing, like, being able to sit back and instead of rushing into something new just to keep everything going and keep the momentum going, it's given us and the group putting it together so much time to really just kind of sit back and make sure they have every I dotted and T crossed. And I am so excited. I think there's an announcement coming in the next month. I know we've said that a bunch of times, but we have an excuse this year, coronavirus. But it's one of those things where we've got, I have never in my life since I started in Rallycross back in 2013, seen so much excitement and enthusiasm and interest and people coming back into the sport. They're putting together the TV packages. The manufacturers are coming back in. There's Rallycross is truly and genuinely going to be just shot out of a cannon and brought right back to where it was at its peak. I'm so excited.
Well, and I think honestly, one of the coolest things I think too is as I look at last year or the last full season of ARX, and it's probably some of the most competitive racing across manufacturers we've seen in a long time, you know, and it seemed like the longest time there was like one or two manufacturers that were, you know, a whole hell of a lot quicker than everybody else. But I feel like now it's really got exciting just because you've got so many different teams with different makes and everybody is running at a really high level, you know?
Absolutely. Well, Subaru got Scott Speed. That was a huge boost for them. And then they got all the balance and performances they always asked for to make them equal as everyone else. But with the VWs and all the work we've done on the Fords, it's been some of the best racing you've seen. And now take that competitive racing, take how competitive that's going to be, and put that on a platform like obviously Travis Pastrana has not been shy about what his plans are and what he wants to do with Nitro Rallycross. But you take that competitive racing and then you broadcast it to the eyeballs that and do it at a scale that Travis Pastrana sees as big rather than just kind of a mediocre level like we did with ARX. It's going to be huge. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's got me pumped. You know what else has me pumped, though, Steve? You and I are going racing this weekend, buddy. We are going to Vegas to Reno. This is trial by fire. What do? We throw you into the longest off-road race in the United States, right? Obviously, there's three of us going to be wheeling the car, but man, I guess your first. You're no stranger to dirt, though. I mean, you've done a lot of dirt track, and obviously, I think your snowmobile racing is actually going to come into play here a little bit. I think you're going to parlay some of that into what happens behind the wheel. But what are you expecting here? You got to be pretty excited.
Well, I've been trying to get you to send me all sorts of stuff so I could figure out what to expect for the last week or so, but you haven't sent it to me yet. So send me that and I'll tell you what I'm expecting. But no, honestly, I'm thrilled to be back. Back when I was young, I was a Polaris factory driver for snowmobiles, racing ice ovals all over the country. And to have the opportunity to come back and partner up with you, obviously you and I have had a great relationship over the years. I'm absolutely pumped to be partnered up with you guys. And then just to hop in this thing, it's a fully race-built, specced-out, crazy Razor that we're going to be able to blast across the desert. And I'm just thrilled to hop in this thing and feel it.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited because this poor car has actually had, like, three of the best rallycross drivers in the world drive it now. We've had Pastrana, we've had Faust, and we've had Steve Arpin behind the wheel of this exact same car. So I'm looking at it going, you know, this thing, if this that steering wheel could talk, I'm telling you, Steve, it'd probably tell some stories after this one.
I'm sure we'll be able to tell some stories after this one.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of fun. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not going to lie. I am... The part that I am just petrified of, and you're probably going to laugh at me and tell me I'm a little girl for this or something, but the part that I am absolutely petrified of is if something happens and we have to change a tire or something, I'm going to be like on top of the roof trying to climb down and change a tire from the top down because I am petrified of snakes. And if we go out there and there's rattlesnakes around, I am going to be the biggest little baby on earth.
it's so dang hot out here right now that I think the snakes are even hiding out, like
makes me so happy.
I ought to tell you though, you got to look it up on your phone. So there's these things. Nevada's this weird state. Everybody sees Las Vegas, they think, oh, Nevada. No, like Nevada is the most desolate. There's a reason why Area 51 and aliens are in Nevada, right? I mean, it's legitimately a desolate ass state. And we were at this one pit. This was like a decade ago. I was out there and literally we're standing there in the middle of the night waiting for my dad to come through back when he was racing or something. It was probably longer than 10 years ago. But we're standing out there in the middle of the desert. And all of a sudden, I look down, and there's all these things crawling out of the ground. I'm like, what the hell are these? I jumped on the tailgate of the truck. Everybody's like, what in the world? These things just start coming out of the ground. Well, there are these things, these big white bugs-looking things that burrow into the ground. They come out at night, and they're called Children of the Earth. And I swear it looks like something you would eat on Survivor or something. Like, it's the gnarliest-looking thing. And I was like, what in the world are those? You're going to have to Google Children of the Earth when we get off the phone because you're going to be like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, Nevada, dude, it's just this odd state, and I mean that in the most endearing way, but yeah, it's that desert's got stories, man.
That's unreal. It's gonna be fun though. I tell you what, like just it's such a different discipline, and I did a little bit of it. I kind of had in a stock unit out in Montana with the Leach brothers a couple months ago when I was out there, and it's an entirely different type of driving. It's an entirely different thrill. And you have to be on the edge all the time to be able to get the speed out of these things. So I'm looking forward to learning it. Looking forward to hopefully I can be contribute a bunch to the performance of the team and give ourselves a good solid finish this week.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing too. Is I think your transition will be really good. Tanner transitioned really well too, and so did Trav because they're all wheel drive. You know, so it's not like you're going into a rear wheel drive trophy truck. What you're used to in the rallycross cars. It transitions over so well to the UTVs. They really are just kind of like a miniature rallycross car with just a whole lot less horsepower, you know? So I think, I think when we do our tests later this week, you're going to get behind the wheel and you're going to be like, oh, it's going to feel like home. Just everything's going to move a little bit slower than you're used to, you know?
So am I driving in the day or at night?
You're going to be, I think, a split of both. I think you're going to start in the day and then you might finish early evening. And then, Marty is going to do the final part. He's going to be driving at night. So, probably a little bit. But we got huge rigid lights all over the car. So it's like driving at daylight. So you're not, even your little nighttime stint, you shouldn't worry about it.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you having me, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. And I was just looking, and I'm looking at the whole thing and the schedule that got shot over to me, and I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, I don't know if any of us are going to make it to the race, though, because Wednesday night we're supposed to have a dinner at Topgolf. I'm like, is that, like, fun? Is that dinner? Is that what? I'm like, this is going to be a riot, I think.
I'm just going to go out and throw a full disclaimer out there that my experiences at Topgolf, we better be testing in the afternoon on Thursday.
Well, it is an afternoon test.
Just
that Thursday. That's what I was like. I hope we all actually make it to the start line. But, it definitely should be good times, man. I'm excited to have you out, buddy. I don't know. I guess you guys have been full tilt at the shop. We've been full tilt at our shop. And I guess we'll see you in a couple days out there in Vegas, buddy.
It's going to be fun. Can't wait, my friend.
And we'll be back with more after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
That's it for hour number one here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. But you can bet your ass we're coming back with a heavy-hitting, hard-hitting hour number two. But how about that hour number one, man? Jason Coleman, Steve Arpin, not disappointing. If you got any, fan questions, got some input on our power rankings, got any questions for T-Stone? You guys always got questions for T-Stone. Hit me up at JimBeaver15 on the Twitter machine, or even DM me on Instagram. I'll make sure and check over there as well. But we'll be getting to those questions in the show. So if you have them, hit me up at JimBeaver15 and let me know what your thoughts are. If you're tuning in on SiriusXM Channel 211, Dan Patrick Radio, I appreciate you guys taking the time to join us on the show. We are signing off though on SiriusXM, but shifting gears, you guys want to continue to tune in, check us out on Apple Podcasts, my website, Podcast One, or Sports Byline USA and the American Forces Network. We are there for hour number two. We've got Power Rankings and Tiffany Stone on tap up there as well. And I do want to remind you, if you are a big fan of rally racing, if you like driving, performance driving, if you just want to get your feet wet behind the wheel, make sure and check out our friends at Dirtfish Rally School. Head over to dirtfish.com. Not only are you going to get the latest news from the world of rally, videos, podcasts, and all kinds of content, you can also check out their driving school and sign up to, take some classes there at Dirtfish. Great time up there in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle. And if you use the coupon code JimBeaver15, it is going to get you a whopping 15% off any and all classes up there at Dirtfish Rally School. Let me tell you, I was just up there in June, and it was one heck of a good time. Never disappoints. I know I took Mia Chapman up there with me, Red Bull athlete, professional UTV racer, and she had a blast. And funny thing is, girl's just about turning 18. She had never driven a stick shift before. She'd driven race cars with a clutch, but they're hand clutches from her mod carts. She went up to Dirtfish to drive rally cars, never driven a stick shift before, and within 30 seconds, they had her up to speed driving a stick shift. So it doesn't matter what your age, your skill level, they can get you driving and sliding rally cars in the dirt. I'm telling you, if you've got 3 days to kill, or even one day to kill, or half a day to kill, and you are in the Seattle area, there is no better place than to spend it than Dirtfish Rally School. Heck, even swing by and just check it out. They've got all kinds of displays, vintage rally cars, an amazing shop there where you can get all kinds of Dirtfish swag. So dirtfish.com, they will get you dialed in with all the details. And don't forget, that coupon code is JimBeaver15, and it'll get you 15% off when you sign up for classes. With that, we'll be back right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. See you in hour number two.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome to hour number two here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And you know, last week, I think it was right about this segment, Bucky Lassick, good friend of the show, you know, professional rally racer. He's actually going to race this weekend in a rally car. He dropped some throwback decks from Powell Peralta. He signed a new skateboard deal, obviously one of the greatest vert skaters of all time, in addition to being a race car driver. I would say skateboarder first, race car driver second. Bucky might tell you differently, but truthfully, that's where his bread and butter of his career has been, right? Talking about that, he went back to his OG roots from the 80s with Powell Peralta and signed a deal. And they're bringing back both the modern and retro boards with some different styles that he's had over the years. And amazing. I'm gonna pre-order both boards probably twice, two for wall hangers here in the studio, and then two to actually skate. But, between that and the movie Rad coming out, which is one of the best action sports movies of all time, it's now available on iTunes, Amazon, just about everywhere you can get it for streaming and stuff like that. I think it's like $14.99, $9.99 if you can catch it on a special. But worth the download is what I'm saying. Anyways, I've really got into vintage bikes and vintage skateboards. And I've actually had a small collection of vintage skateboards or ones that I've thought are rad over the years. And now I've really kind of gone full swing with this whole Bucky thing. And then the BMX bike's rad. I've been looking at like vintage Mongooses and GTs and stuff from the 80s and Haros. And oh, man, it's been one, I've kind of been reliving my youth, but two, I think this newfound kind of resurgence of my hobby is going to cost me a hell of a lot of money. But I got to tell you, there's some rad stuff. And one thing I was really excited about is some of the vintage skateboard artwork. And I think next year's our 10-year anniversary. I think I'm going to have 100 skateboard decks printed up with a custom theme for our 10-year anniversary. And obviously, I'll give them out to a lot of people, maybe some of the fans of the show that have been tuning in forever, and maybe sell some of them. So I don't know. What are you guys thinking if I print up 100 skateboard decks, 10-year anniversary Down and Dirty Radio Show decks, full-on skate artwork and everything? I don't know. Let me know. Would you buy one? Would you like enter a contest to win one? Let me know what you think. But I'm kind of leaning towards that way because I want to do something really kind of fun. And also got an RV trip planned, but I know we're out of time in this segment. And I don't know if we'll get back to that, but maybe that's something next week I will bring you guys in the loop on, because it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun next year. Anyways, we'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com, or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Got Chris Leone, my media director here. We're going to do some power rankings on the week, and I'm looking at my list, Chris, going, I just told you, and I don't know where the hell to go. Last week, we were like slim pickings. This week, I got a bunch of honorable mentions. I got some people that should be on the list. I'm going to have to make some cuts to get down to five, Chris. I don't know where you're at, but that is where my head is at. I'm going to have to make some hard, hard cuts here.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week. It's feast or famine, isn't it? It's, you know, we have about 18,000 different drivers on track 1 week, and then we have like one series, and you may as well rank the top five, or you have to just pick something out of kind of nowhere. You know, it's funny because at first I started writing the thing, and I'm like, oh, I want to put Ed Carpenter on there for the Space Force car because I was so jazzed seeing that car. It was just a cool looking paint scheme and stuff. And I'm like, well, everybody and their mom basically raced this week. I can't really put a paint scheme on the top five list, and I hate that. So sorry, Ed, that's probably the coolest race car I've seen all year. But nonetheless, you know, I'm in the same boat, Jim. I redid the list a couple of times and have definitely missed some people. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see how different we end up being.
All right. Well, I'm going to have two honorable mentions. But I think if I throw those out at the start, I think it kind of ruins my list because, like, people will be like, oh, they didn't make the list. So let's try and hurry through this and leave a couple minutes at the end so I can throw my two honorable mentions up and you can throw your two honorable mentions up or whoever you have as honorable mentions, you know. I think because there is a couple of things I want to key in on, and they should be on my list, and they didn't just, you know, for the sake of didn't have enough space. So, all right, Chris, let's start off with number five on the week. Who do you have number five power rankings this week?
Number five, we are going to go to Road America for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and I'm handing this one to Austin Cindric. I mean, we know that he's been kind of the guy to beat on a lot of the Xfinity Series road courses, with apologies to AJ Allmendinger, of course, but, you know, owing to Austin's versatility, where he's raced everything from sports cars to I worked with him for a couple of years in GRC, you know, he's mastered the art of turning left and right. And so it's not really a surprise to see him in victory lane, you know, at a road course. He's managed to do it on the ovals now too, and this has really been a breakout year, and he's kind of becoming my pick for that NASCAR Xfinity Championship. But, you know, Austin, just being able to take all those victories, he's had a really good summer, taking home a lot of different trophies. And, you know, so for me, kind of a no-brainer that I had to get him on the list somewhere. But with just the amount of depth to this weekend, you know, I had to sneak him on there. I had to stick him on at number five.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to tell you, he was one that didn't make my list, but I understand why he made yours. For mine, I'm going to go to NHRA, and I am actually not picking one driver. I'm picking two because they're part of a family, and they had a historic all-Coughlin final round. We had Troy Jr. and Jeg Jr. both making the final there at the Dodge NHRA Indy Nationals. And obviously, Jeg Coughlin Jr., I don't know. It's just there's so many stories here. Obviously, you know, one is the nephew of the other, Chris, but not often you have an entire family making the final round of an NHRA main event. I didn't know who to go with here. It was, you know, obviously Jeg Jr. got the best of Troy Jr., but it was one of those where I was like, you got Coughlins and Coughlins in the final. It's historic. They both make the final. So I had to go with the Coughlin family as my number five.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, the Coughlin Racing family has just kind of been a dynasty. They've broadened their reach into some other forms of motorsport over time. And, you know, but when you think pro stock, Jeg, you know, Jeg is one of those names that you think of when you think of that class. It's just inseparable. I mean, for me growing up, it was always kind of Warren Johnson at first was the first name, but now, you know, I think of pro stock and Jeg Coughlin Jr. probably at the top of that list. So certainly certainly worthy names. I did go to the NHRA, well, a couple of times for my list. I didn't actually go to the pro stock names, but, you know, it's interesting. We may end up splitting it up a little bit and we may end up both getting, you know, all of the NHRA sort of winners on here. I don't know, but, for my number four, I'm going to go with Steve Torrence with the Top Fuel win. And not just because, I mean, you know, we all know at this point, we all kind of expect Steve Torrence to take home a bunch of Wallys every year and be a threat for the title or win the title or whatever. But one of the things that I saw on TV over the weekend, you know, he's usually got that picture of Kilgore, Texas in the car, and he replaced it for Indy, and he has the he had a photo of Michael Jordan just sort of flying from the free throw line on that dunk, and he was basically saying, like, look, every time MJ came to play, you know, there was he was the man, and he didn't make mistakes, and there was no stopping him, and we've made a couple of mistakes, and we have got to stop doing that if we're going to go win another championship this year, you know. And point made. You go back out and you go take home your second victory of the season. I know it's kind of been an up and down year for them, certainly on the track. But anytime you can lock up that second victory and, you know that you've got the proof of concept, you know that you're firing on all eights, so to speak, you know, that's always a big victory. So for me, Steve Torrence at number four.
Well, Steve Torrence at number four. I'm not going to argue with that, but I am going to roll with some NHRA here. But I am going to go with Ron Capps there at number four on my list. Good friend of ours, Chris. Good friend of the show. You know, good friend of iRacing. I mean, Ron is just a class act, a great, great guy. And, you know, he's been down on his luck a little bit. I think we have to go back to Brainerd last year to find his last victory. But he took a victory there at Lucas Oil Speedway there in Indy. And, you know, that was his first ever victory at that track. I know that that track has been the one that eluded him. Obviously, he hasn't got the marquee win on Labor Day weekend with the U.S. Nationals quite yet. But he's won at pretty much every single track on the NHRA calendar except for Indy. Now winning at Indy, he at least marked that off his bucket list. I feel like those U.S. Nationals, it's kind of like Dale Earnhardt when he was in the quest for the Daytona 500, where he'd won everywhere and he'd won there, and it was like he just couldn't get that Daytona 500 victory. I feel like Ron Capps is like the Dale Earnhardt of NHRA, and the U.S. Nationals are kind of that elusive one. But now he's won at Indy. Who knows? Maybe this Labor Day we'll check that mark on the Ron Capps list. But, yeah, I got to have Ron Capps number four on my list this week.
No doubt. And, you know, it's funny, Jim, because I actually have Ron at number three, just bumping a little bit higher, basically for everything you said. I mean, all the respect in the world to everything that Ron has been doing. But also on the iRacing side, it's not a league I'm involved with, but Monday Night Racing, kind of a league that's had a lot of different guys jumped in. Ron's in the playoffs there as well, actually, which is really cool. They've had a lot of kind of a mix of sim drivers, real world drivers. I think the playoffs have Ron, Parker Kligerman, Landon Castle. Kyle Busch just showed up on Monday night and won and earned a spot in that league's playoffs, which is just really cool to me. It ended up being a NASCAR truck race. And I think, as we all know, Kyle is the king of those. And clearly not just in the real world, but the virtual one. But yeah, big weekend for Ron Capps. You know, it's always cool to see somebody check off every single track, active track in a schedule. Not a lot of guys do that, and I don't care what form of racing you're looking at, there's not a lot of guys who can do that. I don't have a list in front of me of people who have done it in other series, but you got to figure it's a really short list. You got to figure that even names, you know, even guys like the Jimmy Johnsons and Jeff Gordons of the world in NASCAR have had their Achilles heel tracks. Lewis Hamilton, you know, has had to have had his Achilles heel tracks, you know, in F1. And it's one of those things where anytime you can do that, you know, it's an accomplishment. It's a testament to your longevity as a driver. It's a testament to how deep in your career you've been able to be competitive. I mean, you know, like we've said, you know, Ron's a good friend of ours, and Ron's somebody who kicks butt at just about everything he straps into, you know, whether it's real or virtual. So certainly a richly deserved victory, and really cool to see him check that off.
Yep, absolutely, Chris. Well, we are up against the time break for this segment, so we're going to take a short break. Chris and I will resume our power rankings here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode,
beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With ADAPT, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Chris Leone here with Power Rankings. We are currently midway through the Power Rankings. I am going to move to my number three, and I am going to move to NHRA once again, and I'm going to switch to the two-wheel side of things, and I got to give a big shout-out to a friend of the show. It's been a guest here, but Angel Sampe got career win number 43 on Pro Stock Motorcycles, but there was a lot of big milestones with this one. It was career win number 43, first on a Harley. She just turned 50 years old 2 days prior to the win. And I got to tell you, Chris, Angel, this was one of those where, you know, she came back and, you know, she got this deal with Harley Davidson a year or so back. Nobody really thought she'd be competitive. Obviously, she's one of the greatest of all time on a pro stock bike. This is kind of her first long-awaited win in quite some time. I mean, this one is a very emotional win for her, especially after turning 50 years old. But I had to have Angel on my list this week, somewhere slotted in. And, I just put that performance a little higher than Caps. I got her at number three.
Yeah, no doubt, Jim. And I mean, it's like I said, I had a feeling that once we started going to all of the NHRA racers over the past weekend, I had a feeling that we were going to end up with every winner on at least one of our lists. And no doubt, all the respect in the world to what Angel was able to do, you know, be able to break that streak. And certainly she was very emotional in that winner's interview. You know, it was a long time coming, like you said, about 4-5 years, you know, first win finally with that Harley team. And that's, anytime you can finally break a streak like that, anytime you can finally take a first victory with a different race team, you know, it's always such a huge moment. And it has to be kind of a weight off of your shoulders every time you get that first result like that when you've made that switch. Because, I mean, as we all know in motorsport, anytime you leave where you're at, it's a gamble. You know, it may not be working at the home that you were at for years and years and years, but you could make a change and you could see everything come apart. I mean, you know, going back to NASCAR with Jimmy Johnson, I mean, when the relationship with Chad Knaus stopped working and they split those guys up, you know, neither of them have been able to, they weren't on their A game their last year together, no doubt, but they haven't been able to find victory lane apart really yet either. You know, at least they haven't really been able to take those checkered flags. I mean, so it's always kind of a risk when you make those changes. And, you know, there have got to be few more affirming feelings as a race car driver, you know, or rider, or just anybody who competes in top level motorsport than being able to take a checkered flag with a team that, you know, that you've put your faith in, that you've moved over to, regardless of how long you've been working together before you finally get it done. So, you know, no doubt, huge win for Angel, and all the respect in the world on that.
Yeah, so that puts us through number threes. I know we've both got our top two to come, and also we're going to leave a little time at the end for our honorable mentions on the week, Chris. But who do you have there at number two on your list this week?
So this one was kind of a hard one to me to pick the number one and the number two, but I eventually settled for Max Verstappen as my number two with the victory in Silverstone. Last week got a lot of grief for pitting early, you know, pitting with one lap to go. Everybody saying, oh, you know, Lewis was crossing the line on three wheels. They threw away a sure victory. And then, you know, Red Bull comes out and says, well, no, there were about 50 cuts in one of Max's tires. There's no way he would have made it. He would have had the same blowout. You know, you get back to Silverstone and the Red Bull team clearly has whatever they needed to figure out to get the most out of the tires figured out. And, you know, it's always great when you have a great equalizing moment, especially in a series like F1, which is, as it should be, an unbridled showcase of technology. You know, the Mercedes team, and God, my 90s F1 is showing because I almost said McLaren because I'm so used to thinking McLaren Mercedes from when I was a kid and the silver cars. But no, I mean, Mercedes has obviously been the cream of the crop, the most dominant team, and Lewis Hamilton by far the world's best driver. But, you know, you look at what they've had to deal with in Silverstone, and they just didn't quite have the tires figured out the same way that Red Bull did. And it opened the door, you know, for Max to be able to take that victory. And, you know, that Red Bull team is pretty reliable for one or two a year if Mercedes has that slip up. And I'm not necessarily saying that I think it's going to make for a super close championship and that, you know, Max is now going to be breathing down Lewis's neck over the next few weeks, but it's definitely proof that anybody can slip. And it's definitely proof that if the teams that have been at the top slip, then if you put yourself in a good position, you can capitalize. And that's what Max Verstappen and Red Bull did. They didn't make any mistakes. They had their tire management figured out. They had everything put together to have a great day on Sunday. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, honestly, I think you said it just as well as I could have, if not better, Chris. But I had Max as number two on my list as well. You know, obviously, you know, he snapped that kind of streak that Lewis Hamilton had going. I mean, Lewis has been on fire lately. I mean, just destroying the field. And obviously you talked about last week and, you know, kind of the hiccup that that Max had and the what ifs and things like that. But, you know, it's great to see him rebound. Great to see somebody new on top of the box. Not taking anything away from Lewis Hamilton, but I think it re-energizes the fan base and gets people, you know, tuning in again every single week. And, you know, Max Verstappen had him as number two on my list, which leaves us to number one. And I got a feeling maybe we got the same number one this week, Chris.
I do have a feeling, Jim. And for that reason, I'm thinking we build the suspense a little bit and we go to those honorable mentions now. Because, you know, I think we can probably wax poetic about our, I'm sure, shared number one, but I know you had a bit of a list, and I'm kind of interested who's on that honorable mention list for you.
Well, I think my honorable mention list, I had, this one was kind of bittersweet. It's tough for me to put him down there, but I just felt like, you know, Steve Torrence has won so damn much in NHRA, and there was a couple of milestone victories. I just couldn't creep him into my top five, and, you know, and normally, I mean, shoot, I've had Steve, you know, number one more often than not, but, you know, I had Steve Torrence as an honorable mention. Obviously, you talked a lot about his program and what he was going into. Big victory from him in Top Fuel, but he just didn't crack my top five this week. And the other honorable mention, I got to go to NASCAR Trucks, and I got to go to my boy Zane Smith doing it for the off-road community, getting his very first ever NASCAR Trucks victory. And I thought it was a great moment for Zane Smith, and you know, in his first real full season in the trucks, to take home a victory. So Zane Smith, I had him as an honorable mention as well.
You know, and that's funny. That's part of why I wanted to get to the honorable mentions, because I had a feeling we were both going to stick Zane Smith on there, not just, you know, stealing that truck series victory. And by the way, amazing last couple of laps.
Yeah, that was gnarly. Yeah. And I didn't even get into that. And I'm glad you did, Chris, because that last couple laps, I mean, let's put it this way. Zane Smith did not, it came to him. I mean, you got to be the right place, the right time. And Zane absolutely was, man.
You do, but you've also got to not make the mistake when the opportunity presents itself. But then, even on top of that, I mean, I think my affinity for Stadium Super Trucks is well known. And Zane popped over to Road America and ran two Stadium Super Trucks races, you know, the following day, which is just super cool to me. Sheldon Creed headed over there as well. So not only did we get to see those guys repping the off-road community and the paved trucks, you know, we got to see him go race with Robbie Gordon in that series, finally getting back to it. And, you know, not only that, but I got to give the shout to Robbie and Max Gordon as well. You know, I'm sure Robbie ended up, I believe, being the overall winner on the weekend, you know, on points, because they do the multiple races. But, you know, forget about that. I'm sure Robbie's a ton more proud of the fact that Max made his SST debut than he even is of being on top of the overall box for the weekend, because I know they've put a lot of time and effort into Max, and you know, they did an amazing job at the Mint 400, and you know, it's just I'm sure there's nothing more gratifying to Robbie than seeing Max be able to run the SST race with him for the first time.
Yeah, it was a great moment for them, and I know you know, I was paying attention to the weekend, and not saying I don't pay attention to SST most weekends, but a lot of it I'll just catch later. But this one, I was glued in. I wanted to see how Max did. And, you know, that being said, I didn't even have him on my list. But, you know, Ari Jr. took a victory and blowing the rust off. A lot of people forget he's a hell of a race car driver. But I know Ari Lyndike Jr. taking a victory there at SST as well. I think that was a pretty feel-good moment for a guy that I think a lot of people think of his dad first and forget that Ari is a very, very good race car driver himself.
Mm-hmm. And no doubt probably also think of Ari more for, you know, sometimes for his contributions to reality television, yeah. But certainly a wheel man and certainly somebody who has won quite a few of those things in SST. But I'm not sure where we are up against the break, but should we get to number one?
Yeah, I think it's time for number one. And I think both of us we're probably going to the World of NASCAR and our current points leader, aren't we, Chris?
I think we are both going to Michigan. Are we going to the guy who won both of the races this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Mr. Kevin Harvick. I think, 6 wins so far this season, the points leader. I know we've talked about a few guys who have stepped out, and you know, really we've got a big three this year, you know what I mean, as far as I'm concerned at the cup level. But Kevin Harvick, man, he's the cream of the crop, and he was showing us just the reason why in Michigan this weekend.
Yeah, no, it's always impressive to see a guy like that. And the funniest thing to me, they keep talking about, oh, when's Kevin Harvick going to retire? When's Kevin Harvick going to retire? And I get why we're doing that, because I think people are probably getting a little bored of Kevin Harvick winning as much as he is recently, the same way that we, you know, the same way that we got bored of Jimmy Johnson winning the way that he was and all that, you know. But man, it's... people tune in for dominance. They really do. And Kevin is certainly one of the better, more lively, I think, personalities to be as dominant as he has in NASCAR, at least in recent years. You know, I mean, you're talking about a guy whose first nickname was Happy because of how PO'd he was all the time.
Well, I am completely with you, Chris. I don't think there's anybody that's going to argue that Kevin Harvick doesn't deserve to be in the NASCAR Hall of Fame on the first ballot. But we are up against the time break, my friend. That means we need to take a short commercial break. We'll return here with more on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, joined on the line by my good friend Tiffany Stone. T-Stone, what is cracking on your end? It's been a while since we've had you on air. I know you're getting ready to head out to ERX. I'm getting ready to head to Vegas to Reno, which is crazy. 2 off-road events on the same weekend. We went from having nothing and 2 on the same weekend. I don't even know what to think about that, T-Stone.
I do not know what to think either. I'm pretty speechless about it. But, hey, at least we're racing. At least we're doing something going out there. Yeah, we're heading back to ERX this weekend. Normally, we were supposed to be in Bark River, Michigan, but the UP, they didn't want to have everybody there based on it being such a small town. Understandable. So ERX says we'll take all the safety precautions again, do exactly what we did a few weeks ago. And I'm pretty excited about it. You know, it feels like it's going to be some good racing because we're right at that midway point. It's also the race before Crandon. So it's like, you know, how much do I really race or how far do I really push it? knowing that Crandon is going to be only a few weeks later, and that's kind of like the Super Bowl of short course racing is Fall Crandon.
Yeah, the Super Bowl is upon us here in 2 weeks. It's going to be huge. Obviously, said ERX. You know, one thing that I've kind of – you mentioned ERX and the shift from Bark River. I'm thinking, you know, Ultra 4 just made a big announcement that they're shifting from running at Reno to running at Moab now. I know the Baja 500 that's supposed to happen in September, we still don't know if it's going to happen or not. That shifted from Ensenada to San Felipe. I feel like off-road, like everybody's kind of adapting. They're shifting. They're moving locations. A lot of motorsports haven't been so fortunate, but I feel like off-road, for some reason, Tiff, we've been able to shift gears and kind of make things happen and scrape together a semblance of some seasons, you know?
No, I do agree. Maybe it is because it's off-road. Maybe it's because, like you said, you can just shift from one area and let's just go to Moab, you know? Because in Moab, there's so many different things that you could do, that you can spread things out. It's kind of like rally racing in a sense. Obviously, a lot of them are old, you know, for stage rally, they're old logging roads or roads that are still used for loggers. And so they're like, hey, we could just make, you know, a left here or right here. If we're still going to race, we're just going to figure some things out. And, you know, everybody, like you said, has been making these adjustments to make it feel as normal as it is, you know, and I'm pretty excited about it. And I, like we said, ERX did such a great thing. It's a driver's track. So since it's a driver's track, anything can happen. They have the split lane, so that's always going to be a gamble.
Yeah, ERX is a fun one, and I know they changed it up, added, you know, from the last time I was there till now, they actually added a turn, that final turn. Actually now, I think you take a right and then a left or something like that. Like looking at it, they've completely changed it when you come off the big flyaway jump. So that's, I don't know, they're always adapting up there. That facility, I've been there a bunch of times for calling snow bike races and some UTV races and stuff like that. And I got to tell you that facility, just everything that, you know, the team there has built, it's quite amazing. I mean, it really is a motorsports oasis in Minnesota.
100%. And going back to that last turn that you were talking about, the right into the left, the crazy thing is that from, you know, talking to a lot of the drivers, is what they said is it's very kind of off camber. So if you're not used to that, and you know, I'm used to off camber because of the Jeep. At first, scared me, super scared me. Even like 5 degrees off camber, I was so nervous. But imagine ripping around in whatever off-road vehicle, a super buggy stock truck, you know, a side-by-side, even all the way up to the Pro 4, and realizing that you're off camber but going so fast. I don't know what's worse, being off camber and going slow or being off camber and going fast, because it's like a blink of an eye and it's done, no matter which way you look at it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Let's shift gears, though. Talk about something else motorsports related. I want to talk about the Indy 500, Tiff, because I know I'm loving you working for Hagerty, because now all of a sudden you're at on, you know, not just off-road and not just, you know, automotive. You're like, I feel like this has made you like the full circle automotive car culture person now. But I know you wanted to talk a little Indy 500, and I think I'm always down to talk IndyCar. But big news coming out of IndyCar about a week or so back. I know Roger Penske made the call that the Indy 500, it was going to be run at 25% capacity with about 75,000 fans in attendance. They pulled the plug on that and said, you know what, we're going fanless for the first time in history. What are we, 104 years in now? The Indy 500 is going to be run without fans. I think that's it's a surreal thought. It's going to be a surreal scene there, because you're used to, you know, all these drivers crossing the bricks at 230 miles an hour and fans just, you know, screaming and all that's going to be gone this year. It's going to be an interesting week. I know things get fired up this weekend with qualifying, but Tiff, I mean, what are you thinking about this fanless Indy 500?
I don't know what to even think about it. I can shamefully say this. I've actually never been to an Indy 500, so I'm not too privy of what it is. However, I've been to the Daytona 500, obviously not the same thing, but kind of the same thing. You know, I realize that it's all about being there and just having the vibrations, the sound, just everything encompassing it. So it kind of makes me a little bit sad. But, you know, I know that ticket holders will be given the option to follow the race online. And it's kind of like, okay, cool, that's a Band-Aid for me, but it's really not the same thing. But on the show this morning, I made a joke. They're like, hey, at least there's no bathroom lines that you have to wait in. You know, like if you watch the race from home, you can not have to pay, you know, $15 for a drink or whatnot, not have to wait in line, but it's not the same. So I don't know. It's a give and take. So.
Yeah, definitely. I've heard a bunch of people talking about having for the Indy 500 a big virtual watch party where, like, I don't know, like everybody's going to be on Twitter at the same time watching, talking, engaging, like putting together these special hashtags. I don't know. Maybe I ought to do that. Maybe we ought to do something for the radio show and do like a big virtual watch party. I don't know. It's we're going to have to come up with something, but I think that it's kind of interesting. Everybody's adapted during this pandemic to doing stuff like that, you know, and trying to, you know, like that's always been a big thing, you know what I mean, with us. We'll throw a big Indy 500 shop party, invite everybody over, all our friends, have a big barbecue, everybody watches the race. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year, but I feel like it's, you know, it's sign of the times. I don't know. It's kind of interesting that people are still getting together now. It's just in the virtual sense. Even SEMA, they're talking about doing a virtual SEMA now that SEMA's been canceled, Tiff.
No, I know. And I even posted a photo a while ago. I was like, with everything that happens in the world, I just hope SEMA doesn't cancel. Obviously, that's wishful thinking. You know, there's no way you're going to get, what, a million people together, even if they went half capacity. Okay, 500,000 people together. The line to get into SEMA anyways, like if you're in the North Hall or South Hall or whatever, is ridiculous. Could you imagine people staying 6 feet away from each other just to go in, just to wear masks, just to do all these things? I mean, that line would go past the Renaissance all the way down, you know, probably past the Hard Rock. I mean, that's how long this line, I mean, obviously I'm exaggerating, but who knows? That could be that long of a line if SEMA tried to happen.
Yeah. You know, and last year, to be honest with you, at SEMA, I didn't know if I was going to go this year to SEMA only because of that. I'm like, I'm not, you know, I've gone and done quite a bit during this thing, you know, this whole pandemic, and I've tried to be as safe as I possibly can, and I think I've done pretty damn well at it. But it's one of those things where I looked at SEMA and I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work. Those halls, everybody's shoulder to shoulder. Those lines, I'm thinking about the tram that goes back and forth between the hotels, the monorail, and I'm looking at that going, there's no freaking way. Everybody's shoulder to shoulder crammed in. Like, I'm like, this, SEMA just isn't going to work this year. No matter what they say, there's no possible way you can have a socially distant SEMA. And I don't want to say I was right, but I think they made the right call. But now it's interesting that they're saying PRI is a go in December. So PRI, which is normally, you know, kind of the racing, you know, redheaded stepchild, the SEMA, I think that actually could be a very marquee event this year for manufacturers and things like that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at PRI in December. And that being run in Indianapolis, which is funny because Indy, they can't have the Indy 500, but now they say they can have the PRI show. I don't know what to think of any of this, Tiff.
I don't know what to think about it, but all I know is you are absolutely correct because PRI was the show that I was going to go to this year. All right, if I couldn't go to SEMA, at least I can still go talk to some of the partners, talk to some new possible partners, but PRI was where I was going to go, and it was only 4 hours away from me, so why wouldn't I go? And it's, what, a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then I can come home after the weekend? Done.
Yeah, that's what I love about that one. I fly in Wednesday, and I'm home Friday night, and it's like, boom, done, great. You know, it's, I don't know, that's a fun show. It's anybody that hasn't been to that show, that's an absolute fun show. Smaller scale, it's hardcore racing, you know, in parts. It's not all the bling bling like you see at SEMA. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. Always great people. And their conferences there, Tiff. I'm not one to want to go to conferences, but SEMA always, or PRI has way better conferences than SEMA. They have stuff about motorsports marketing, sponsorships, like, you know, how to do social media. Like, it's pretty rad, the education they've got tied to PRI. And I think that's something a lot of people don't think about when they think about these trade shows.
No, that's awesome. That's definitely one that I'll probably look at, too. So, obviously, if there's some good some good seminars or, you know, conferences that we should go to, let us know. I'd love to go to one, a different one at least.
Yeah. So other than that, what's happening? What's been going on in Hagerty? I know obviously you got this new daily gig where you're talking cars. What has been the latest on the Hagerty front, Tiff?
Well, we were talking about, let's see. Have you heard about the new, the frunks opening up on the Corvettes? Do you know what a frunk is?
The front trunk, the frunk. What, so they're opening up?
Okay, so a few weeks back, Corvette owners were saying that the their frunks were flying open. So they were driving down the streets and the frunks and the, you know, they're open because the new Corvettes, they're mid-engine ones. And so with that being said, they send out an airwave like system update, and now the trunks are staying too closed. It's really weird because GM literally re-engineered their entire Corvette to have a mid-engine, and this is like the problem that they're having, that the frunks are opening too much, now the frunks are closing too much. And it's all because usually when you're in the trunk, there's like a release hatch. So you could be able to, it's usually brightly colored. They can have all that. Well, in Corvette, it's a button. And so what happens is when you turn off the car's still on for 10 minutes, technically. And then after 10 minutes, it goes into sleep mode. And that's finally when you can disactivate or disengage the trunk, because then it'll open. So that's kind of what's happening. It's weird.
Sometimes cars can get too damn smart, and I think Chevrolet's figured that out. Like, seriously.
I don't know.
I think cars can get too smart. Corvette might be a little too smart for itself.
It might be. But this is completely off subject, Jim, and I waited. Because you know how sometimes we wait to record things before we talk about them because they're awesome, because we have the best conversation about random conspiracy things?
All right, now you got me all ears. What are you bringing to the table this week, Tiff?
Your brother told me that you are a Hunt a Killer fan and that you're on the Cadence Theater right now.
Yes, how did you hear that from my brother? I didn't know you guys talk. Yeah,
because I posted about it on my Instagram yesterday because I was really excited about my first one that I got was episode one. I'm such a huge, because we've talked about that. You know, I love serial killers and conspiracies and all this weird criminal investigation and criminal mind stuff. So I got it. I got the year subscription. My first one came in and I posted about how excited I was about doing this, and I created my board and all this, and your brother said that you were on the Cadence Theater and he was on a different one and that you would both enjoy them. So I literally waited till we're recording to talk about this.
Yeah, so which one are you on? Are you on Cadence Theater?
I am. I just figured out the murder weapon last night. Okay. But finding the murder weapon was really easy, but I think I found tons of other clues within it that make it really exciting. So when I get episode two, I'm already in a little bit.
Yeah, and so the way we do it is I've got the first two boxes, and we've actually got three sitting here. And so we've actually got through five, but we've only completed the first two boxes. So we get a group of friends together, and we make it almost like a party night. Like everybody drinks, and we order pizza, and we have a Hunt a Killer night. And so, you know, one box, a bunch of people can go through that pretty quick. So like we kind of binge do it. So we got three boxes here. So it's almost time to do another night. We'll get a bunch of people together, and and we'll do a Hunt a Killer night, and it's drinks, pizza, and figuring out this stupid murder. But we're up against the time break, so we got to take a short commercial break. We'll return here with more to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Thanks to all of you for hanging out for the entire two-hour show. Man, much appreciated to all of you, all of our SiriusXM listeners, Sports Byline, American Forces Network, Podcast One, DownAndDirtyShow.com, Apple Podcasts. Head over to Apple Podcasts. Hit the subscribe button if you're tuning in there. Spotify, everywhere else you get the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Much appreciated. And you can give me a follow. Follow my shenanigans at Vegas Torino this weekend at JimBeaver15. That will get you a front row ticket to all the fun that Steve Arpin and I are going to be having, as well as Marty Fiocca from Racer Magazine. And we'll be back next time here with a whole hell of a lot of fun and probably a lot to talk about in regards to this upcoming weekend. Big thanks to Polaris Razor, General Tire, Vision Wheel, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish, Optimus, our good friends there at GSP XTV Axles, iRacing. Don't forget PR-Jim Beaver. That'll get you big savings there at iRacing, 50% off. And Jim Beaver 15, that'll get you a big savings there at Dirtfish Rally School. Yeah, 15% off any and all classes there at the Fish. So, I think we've got some of the formalities out of the way here. And I don't know, man, looking forward to getting back behind the wheel of my Polaris Razor in the desert. I know it seems like it's been far, far too long since the Mint 400 happened. And I know me, along with the rest of the off-road community, are looking forward to it. Big thanks to Tiffany Stone, Chris Leone, Steve Arpin, and Jason Coleman, who are guests this week. And we'll see you next time right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. You guys have a great week and weekend.